Welcome to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform.
I'm engineering manager at Yelp, yes. So let me give you actually a little of a background about myself. So, I'm Italian. I come from Milan. I work in Vodafone when I was in Italy as a tester and then test manager. Also in the middle, I've been partially developer. I developed some of the teams used internally by some of the tools used internally by my team. I specialized, especially at the end of my career, in Vodafone in penetration testing and compliance. I came to UK as a DBA, so completely different thing.
Yeah.
I came as a junior DBA, so restarting from scratch in 2015, December 2015, so almost 6 years ago, for rental cars, which was part of the same holding as Booking.com. Mm. Rental cars merged officially with Booking.com in the Booking Holding. The holding has been rebranded as Booking Holding. So Booking.com embraced almost everything inside the holding. Rental cars became the transport division of Booking.com in opposition, let's say, to the accommodation division, which was in the headquarters in Amsterdam. I became engineering manager in May 2019 for one of the database teams. I kept on working on still being partially hands-on as an engineering manager. So I was still on call. I was still part of the on-call rota. Also, 70 to 80% of the time was dedicated to people management, roadmap, classical management work. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm enjoying it a lot still now. I left Booking.com in June 2021, so this year, because I felt like I wanted new challenges after being there for 6 years. So yeah, and I joined Yelp at the beginning of October.
Could you give us a bit of insight into Yelp and just exactly what it is as a business? Everyone in the world knows what Yelp is, surely, but for some of those people that don't know what Yelp is, could you give us a bit of insight into that?
So let's say you can see Yelp as a social network that puts in contact people with local businesses. Mm-hmm. So if, for example, you need a plumber on Sunday afternoon, you go on Yelp and you look for a plumber, and you can see reviews of people who has used the same service from the same person before. You can do comparison. You can see the pros and cons of each one. And I used one to find, for example, this before I started working in Yelp. I used one to find a groomer for my cat.
Really?
I have two cats. Yeah, find a groomer is actually quite difficult because usually, mainly groomers groom dogs, not cats.
Yeah,
because cats can be very difficult customers. And I found two. One had a very long waiting list, and I would have had to bring both my cats there in person. The second one I found actually was doing on-site grooming, mm-hmm, for a slight extra surcharge, and yeah, being very satisfied actually.
Excellent.
So yeah,
that sums it up.
It's absolutely useful. That was the first time actually I used Yelp.
Yeah,
which was actually even before I started my interview process with Yelp.
Oh wow! Oh wow! I mean, yeah. Is it? I'm not sure if I'm right here, but was Yelp previously the Yellow Pages? If you know, do you know the Yellow Pages? It's a similar thing. It was like a big yellow book.
It's a similar thing, yes. Although Yelp was born in the United States not so long ago, actually. And the headquarters still now is in San Francisco.
Right, okay.
Also, there are various offices in the United States and Canada.
Yeah.
And two offices in Europe.
Wow.
But for Europe, I mean the continent, not European Union.
Yeah.
Because now it's better to distinguish.
definitely. And, you know, I've got a lot that I want to talk to you about, particularly around kind of leadership and management and what you see the differences are between a leader and a manager, especially in kind of an organization like Yelp. What would you say is the difference there?
So Well, this is not about specific organizations. So the difference between a leader and a manager is valid everywhere. So although this can actually be my personal opinion, I know it's shared by many people. Many of them I work with. Some of them have been my manager too. So you don't have to be both to be good in either of the roles. And some manager will never be leaders because they are not able to, they can't be leaders. And some leader will never be manager because they don't like the idea of being a manager. So manager is a job, while leader, I will not say it's a calling, but usually you're chosen to be a leader.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't apply to be a leader, you apply to be a manager, and your team decide if you are the leader or not.
Yeah.
Which, as a paradox, can mean actually you can be the manager of the team, but someone else in the team is seen as a leader, for example, which is not bad necessarily, because it can be that you as a manager can lack part of the human skill that actually makes you a leader. If you can be a manager with no empathy, so at that point you can be an amazing manager.
Yeah.
Perfect with numbers. Done everything by the book, but you are not able to understand the people in your team, which can lead to conflicts on one side. On the other hand, if you are able to understand your limitations, you can actually rely more on the person the team sees as a manager. And that will make the team still work very well. But yeah, just being a manager and a leader is definitely not easy. It's definitely not for everyone. I don't think I am so far, not accomplished at least. I'm trying to be. I've had good feedback in this sense. So yes, I'm happy about that. I value the position of a leader more than a position as a manager, as my personal opinion.
Where do you
look? I don't know if this answers your question.
It does, absolutely, yeah. It's really interesting. Okay. And I'm interested to find out what resources you kind of rely on to learn about management and leadership, because there's so much to learn with this kind of with leadership. And yeah, there's so many different resources where you can look. I mean, do you read books? Do you listen to loads of podcasts?
Yes.
Or what do you, where do you learn about
both? Both. And plus, I had the luck of having very good mentors in my life, both as friends and as managers, sometimes both in the same figure. But we actually worked together to put together a list of things that actually can make easier the journey between being an engineer in our case and to become a manager and a leader. So yes, there are books. We usually split the books into two different categories. One is what we call Climbing on the Shoulder of Giants, so which are the books written sometimes very long time ago by Plato, for example. The Republic is basically teaches a lot about fairness and being fair in taking decision and giving feedback. There is Art of War. The Art of War is quite widespread. It's a very small book, actually. It's pretty thin. It has been written 5,000 years ago by no one really knows who. Supposedly it's written by Sun Tzu, but it's actually most probably written by multiple generals and rewritten multiple times.
Wow.
It's mainly about strategic thought. It's actually very much used into marketing, for example. In nearly almost all book, almost all libraries, you can find it in the marketing section. Yes. The Prince from Niccolò Machiavelli is from 15th century, if I remember. That teaches actually the principle of action. So basically just not being reactive, but try to be proactive, act instead of being passive. There are many others. There is Reflection from Marcus Aurelius, which contrary to what you may think, is not written in Latin, it's written in Greek. The language of culture at the time of the Roman Empire was Greek. So he wrote in the language of culture back in the day. And then there are more modern books. So we can go from the new 1 Minute Manager book, which is very thin as well. I read it on a single trip to Italy on a plane. There is the management book. There is Fierce Conversation and Fierce Leadership. Very good, especially if you have a difficult team or difficult team members. They are all, anyway, they develop in a more modern way everything else that it's already written in the other books I mentioned before. There are many more, actually. I can share the notes I took together with my old managers, etc., about this.
Yeah, definitely.
I can share them with you if you want. I will add actually something more because I have a plethora of new books I just started in the last 2 weeks. So... and then I follow, especially, I like to follow Simon Sinek on LinkedIn. He has an interesting podcast on LinkedIn. I really like Simon Sinek. I really like his concept of starting with why, which I think open question in general. So why and how are usually the best to be asked in any occasion. So it can be when something went wrong, instead of asking who, ask why, and ask how it can be avoided. Instead of asking who, asking who means they are blaming someone, and it's never a human error in my experience. I mean, unless something is done on purpose, at that point it's not an error because that's been done on purpose.
It's so interesting, and you mentioned fairness and empathy there, and I picked up on those as kind of key points with leadership. Empathy comes up a lot in this podcast. And would you say that that's the most important aspect of leadership?
Yes, absolutely. Empathy and sympathy. Sympathy means share the pathos. So share the suffering and share the emotions. Not sympathy in terms, yes, you are funny.
Yeah.
So the ability of a leader is, I think it's, so a good leader is also a good mentor and a good coach. And definitely, I think the position of a leader is more similar to the position of a teacher than the position of a manager per se. It's very important from a leader to understand when his team needs support, either in a technical way or in a more human way. So understand when his team members can be underperforming for personal reason and try to offer help and advice in that sense, always without remaining in boundaries, of course. But the main role of a leader is to keep its teammates, let's say, mentally safe, allow them to work knowing that there is someone that is actually there for them. The role of a leader in the end, the final purpose of a leader is to take itself out of the equation so that actually a team will be fully independent.
I find leadership fascinating because really when you have a good leader, you kind of can't really see it in a way.
Yes.
It's difficult to describe because I've seen both sides of the coin. So I've seen bad management and bad leadership, and I've also seen, in my opinion, the best leadership I've ever experienced. And the two are just totally, totally, totally different. With bad management and bad leadership, you can spot it, oh my God, in an instant. And it really affects you. It really affected me really badly. And the team around us, the whole it feels like so much gets affected by bad management and bad leadership, where good management and good leadership, it just feels like everyone's really happy all the time. And what surprises me about this is that when I speak on the podcast with people like yourself, you know, it feels frictionless, but there's so much thought behind it and so much learning behind it to make it seem so smooth and I can't think of another word for smooth or frictionless, but you
seamless.
Get the drift.
Seamless,
yeah.
Yes.
Seamless, yeah, yeah,
as I said, the purpose of a leader is to remove itself from the equation. So, well, when you do something well, no one knows you've done anything, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
You do something very well. It's the same. So I work in engineering, so I know that, for example, when it was 100% hands-on, when everything goes well, no one tells you thank you. But if anything goes wrong, it's your fault.
Yeah.
And you say, yeah, okay, but I mean, it's the first time anything goes wrong in 1 year, which means that for all the other days, everything was perfect. It's the same thing in leadership. So when you have good leadership, the team doesn't even realize it. You are the leader. So you have been put in that position of being a leader, and you put all of your team in the best situation to work, and you support them in all the possible ways. And once the team is happy, that solves all the problems in resources retention, for example. It makes it easier for the team to remain. You work in a place not for the business. You work for the people.
Yeah.
And you leave the place because other people left.
Yeah.
It happens very often. It happened to me as well, that I remained to work in the same company just because I was really enjoying the people I was working with. And when I left because, yes, I still like this place, but all the people I like to work with left. So I'm simply going to a place that offers me more.
Yeah.
Or yeah, gives me more challenge.
Yeah, definitely. And I find that, I mean, I'll be interested to get your opinion on this as well. Because if you say leader, I think a lot of maybe there's some leaders that go for a leadership position for the wrong reasons. Maybe it's because it's the money, or if they're egotistical, the title of being a leader and, you know, the job title. And the funny thing about that is, I think if you're an egotistical person, you go to a role of leadership, or you try and get if you move up to a leadership role, that's a completely wrong personality to be a leader. I guess leaders have no ego, really. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. First of all, the modern leadership is different from leadership, how leadership was 40 years ago, even probably only 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, you had the absolute manager, maybe the highest ranking manager, which was most probably the owner of the company, which was most probably the child of the previous owner of the company.
Yeah.
And everything was, yes, but this was said by this person, so I'm doing it.
Yeah.
No one is asking why, no one is saying, but probably there is a better way. So nowadays, especially in engineering, I mean, I'm talking about engineering because, of course, my experience is in engineering, but I'm pretty sure it's in other fields. Nowadays, we are talking about, especially in engineering team, we are talking about managers who are actually managing team of people who are more competent than them in technical matters. So you cannot say, yes, do that, because I am the manager and I'm saying you to do that. So now it's more a mediation. So you have someone, it's actually a way to delegate all of the management side of a team to a single person who is trainer or is interested or has been chosen by the team, as I said before, to be the person doing all the planning and employ all the human skills and soft skills. This by leaving all the people more interested into employing their technical skill in doing technical stuff, because there are people who simply don't like to be managing.
Yeah.
And I was one of them actually years ago.
Interesting.
This is actually what happens quite often. So there are simply people who say, yeah, I don't see myself as a team leader or as a manager, you know. And then someday you decide that probably you like it or you want to try it. And you realize that probably helping people expressing their full potential, let's say, gives you actually more satisfaction than creating a whole new database or setting up a whole infrastructure. I still like it, but I prefer to help other people developing themselves.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I've heard kind of similar things being said before around leadership, where people get more satisfaction. They realize they get more satisfaction from helping others achieve their goals, and, you know, we're all working towards the same thing. Really interesting. And there's one point that I want to bring up, which is, you know, as we know, tech is moving really, really fast these days. It's not, that goes without saying, it's crazy. So with businesses like Yelp, which is, you know, always staying up to date with those technologies and, you know, always moving with the curve, essentially. To do that, and so for your teams to be able to, you know, look at those tech developments and stay up to date with them, you have to kind of create a safe space for failure. Otherwise, people will engineers will stop trying things and stay in their comfort zone. So first of all, would you say that was an important aspect of your teams at Yelp?
That's absolutely fundamental for actually every company in IT and outside of IT. Definitely, absolutely. So as I said before, there is no human error, which means if something is done wrong, okay, fine, it happens. Only people who don't work never do anything wrong. There are, of course, measures to limit the possibility that something goes wrong in a production environment, but that still can happen. So one of my teachers in university said, this is not related to IT, said, when you design a plane, you give to a number the duty of keeping 200 people alive. And that number can be as small as you want, but it's always there, which means there is always possibility for some failure. Now, we're not talking about killing people, of course, in this case, luckily. But we must always be aware that there is always the possibility for something to go south, for something to go worse than we thought. But it's important that we put all of our team members in the possibility to learn from their errors and help each other when something goes wrong, and putting them in the condition of feeling entitled to do something wrong. Not entitled, allowed to do something wrong, because no one will punish them because of that. It's just part of the normal learning. I mean, fail is first attempt in learning, no, isn't it?
Exactly. Definitely. It seems like your leadership style is, in fact, you know, I couldn't hazard a guess through this conversation what your leadership style is. So could I just ask you, what would you say your leadership style is like?
It actually changes depending on the situation and the team. So mainly I am a paramount of servant leadership, so that's supposedly the ideal. So it's actually where the leader is able to move himself out from the equation and allow the team to work on its own. There are occasions when actually servant leadership, in my personal opinion and in my experience, is not the most effective. So it can be the direct leadership, for example, is more effective, especially in times of problems. For example, when there is a quite important life issues, it happened to me in the past when I was in my previous employment, that there was a life issues that required stronger management and more present management. So at that point, you cannot simply delegate everything to everyone, but you must actually direct the action. That's for the simple fact that as a leader and a manager, at that point, you have a higher point of view. So you can know which are the priorities at that point. That happened like once in 2 years, wow. But it can happen. I don't think micromanagement will never, ever be a good mode of leadership. I know that there are managers who do that. I've been in places that actually do that. Awful. At sea level, even.
Oh my God.
At sea level. So you had sea levels who actually enter in the merit of the single performance review of the engineer.
Wow.
So going down maybe 7 levels, which is a sign of lack of trust in absolutely. Your manager.
Absolutely.
It means that you have a lot of time,
yeah.
Which means probably you're not doing your job.
Yeah.
Or it can be that, for example, there is a time of difficulty in the business or in your team because there are maybe major changes during in the business reality, or many levers in the team or in the department, and at that point the leader must be more present and more supportive for his team. But yeah, I would say my main leadership style, ideally, would be servant leadership. which is not always applicable. So if a team is composed by very junior people, that cannot always be the case. There's probably many people will not agree with me. Probably these will actually, many people will hate me for this. But as a matter of fact, in my personal experience, until the team is not independent, 100% server leadership cannot be achieved.
Mm. Yeah, interesting. You know, these days there's kind of more in more recent times, there's technology leaders that are very much in the public eye. You know, you've got the likes of Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and, you know, these really influential tech leaders. Are there any leaders that inspire you?
I like Elon Musk, I have to say. I haven't read enough from him.
So. Yeah.
I read a lot from Steve Jobs. Mm-hmm. I like some of his style. I don't like everything of his style. I like some of his. I like his policy of 100% accountability, which actually, if I remember, came out from when one of his managers, his luggage got lost during a flight, and he didn't have a suit actually to be at the presentation. And then the output of this was, yes, you couldn't do anything about the fact that your luggage was lost. Mm-hmm. But you could have thought that you would have needed an extra suit in your hand luggage so that you are not accountable because the luggage was lost, but you are accountable because you don't have a suit. And that's actually a nice, in my opinion, is a nice point of view that I tend to onboard for myself and I tend to apply to my most senior members or when in the past I had more than one team to my team leads. I would say, though, the leaders I inspire to actually change through my career and through my age. So, of course, when I was a kid, I used to like the ideal of King Arthur, the leader who leads by example, etc. Nowadays, as I said before, it's not always possible, especially because I my background is as a DBA and a compliance manager. Now I'm in a security team, software development security team. So almost all of my team members are more competent in what we do than I am. So it's very difficult for me to lead by example in that sense, for example. I can lead by example applying what I say and apply what I ask, but I can't really lead by example in doing the same thing my team does.
Well, it's a funny point because I've heard a few people say that they never like to be the smartest person in the room.
Oh no, you hire smart people so that actually they can do the job better than you do.
Exactly. But it surprises me because that must take a lot of confidence to, you know, to do that. That really surprising. When I heard that, I thought, wow, that's amazing. And then I've heard it quite a few times since. So it's an interesting point, that, isn't it?
That's actually the way we do with everything. So we usually hire someone who is better than us so that actually the whole team can improve. So if you hire someone you think is not better than yourself, the average of the team will go down instead of going up.
It makes sense, doesn't it?
That doesn't mean you cannot help them in inspiring their true potential. I mean, usually a good student surpassed the mentor. So that's actually the purpose, you know, in all the mentoring and coaching role of a leader, that's actually it is. So develop someone, help someone develop and become better than what you are.
Mm. I think this is going to get quite philosophical now when I ask this. I hope you're ready.
Yeah, so this is because of my background as we study a lot of classic philosophy in Italy. So.
Yeah, all right, wow.
So, yeah, part of our let's say, point of view about leadership and management is part of that, yeah.
Yeah. Would you say that there's such thing as a perfect leader, or does that just not exist?
Oh, it exists as a concept, yes.
Yeah. Thought I was going to get philosophical here. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, that will become philosophical because perfection is always in front of your eyes. That's the... You know how it can be. That doesn't mean you will be able to be. So perfection is an ideal. That doesn't mean you must be able to reach it.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Do you think?
What I think is that, yes, it exists, the idea of the perfect leader, as I said, someone who is able to create a reality where actually it's not needed anymore. A leader is not needed anymore. Yes, that's the perfect leader. Is it achievable? Well, we are only human, so there is always the human factor. So it can probably be achievable for a short amount of time, yes. But, I mean, nothing is eternal, so.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying earlier, I find leadership absolutely fascinating. And honestly, the more I speak to people like yourself and, you know, the more I learn about leadership, I just seem to have more questions about it. You know,
that's the purpose of learning, no, isn't it?
Yeah. It seems like there's so much to leadership. When, you know, when I thought about leadership a few years ago and it's just looking at the surface, I had no idea that leaders had this much emotional intelligence and this much empathy, and there was so many moving parts to a leader. It really is just fascinating me every time I speak on this show.
And the complicated part is that you can learn what is empathy.
Yeah.
But if you don't have it, it's possible simply you. I mean, not everyone can be a leader. Not everyone can be a leader for the simple fact that not everyone has the level of emotional intelligence
and
empathy and sympathy that is required. That doesn't mean you are a failure if you don't have it. It's simply probably not your path.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask if you can learn to be a leader, or is some of leadership innate, but you've just answered the question there.
Well, you can learn what is needed to be a leader, but some of them are skills. Some of them are, you can improve your empathy, for example, but you must understand what is your empathy. So there are people who are not interested in that, which is perfectly fine. It's not, I don't know how to paint and I'm not interested in learning how to paint, for example. That doesn't make of me a bad person. It simply doesn't make of me an artist.
Yeah. Amazing. So I've got a little, what I've been doing as we've been talking, Andrea, I've been putting down a few words into a little list that I've made here. And I think just to wrap up, it'd be really nice if I could just, we could play, I say a little game, but it's not that exciting.
Yeah.
If I could give you these words, and then if you could give me your immediate thoughts on those, just to kind of wrap up the whole thing.
Yes.
The first one to get your thoughts on is management, just in a nutshell.
Okay. A manager actually is the person who is accountable for the success of a team or a business and mainly works for the team and the business, for the team as an entity.
Okay, excellent. Next one is micromanagement.
It's just as wrong. it's lack of trust, in my opinion, in your team members.
Yeah.
Absolute lack of trust. And actually lack of trust in yourself as well, because in my experience, micromanagers are people who want to be under the spotlight at the expense of their team.
Third one is leadership.
Okay, leadership is so where management actually gives benefit to the business and the team as an entity. Leadership brings benefit to the people.
Brilliant.
And the business is a reflect of this, but the business is based on people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the last one is your team at Yelp.
Okay, that's beautiful. I love my team at Yelp.
Yeah, excellent.
Yes, I'd say that the first thing that comes to my mind is home.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, oh, that's really nice.
Happened to me only once after such a short amount of time.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay, well, I think that might be a nice point to end on, actually, Andrea. I've really enjoyed chatting with you today. It's been really interesting, and I've really, really enjoyed just sitting here and
I did enjoy it too, actually. Yeah, I really liked it.
It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform.